Joshua chapter 19, verses 49 to 51. And so we come to the end of the passage dealing with the allotment of the land to the tribes of Israel. And we read this. Joshua 19, verse 49. When they had finished dividing the land into its allotted portions, the Israelites gave Joshua son of Nun an inheritance among them, as the Lord had commanded. They gave him the town he asked for, Timnath-Serah, in the hill country of Ephraim. And he built up the town and settled them. These are the territories that Eleazar the priest, Joshua son of Nun, and the heads of the tribal clans of Israel, assigned by lot at Shiloh, in the presence of the Lord, at the entrance to the tent of meeting. And so they finished dividing the land. I notice it is all in the presence of God. It was connected with the tent of meeting, the tabernacle, the place where God was. And the temple, which takes over from the tabernacle, will play such an important role in the history of Israel. And it comes over into the new covenant also. It was all done in the presence of the Lord at the entrance to the tent of meeting. There's high significance, I think, in that closing sentiment at the end of the allotment of the tribes. But I want to concentrate in this very short discourse on this reference to Joshua and his settlement at Timnath-Serah in the hill country of Ephraim. I see here a parallel with Caleb. Remember, these are the two of the spies who went out at Kadesh Barnea, who gave the good report. And both men now are aged. We've seen Caleb in his 80s. Still asking for the hill country, give me this mountain. It was a hard and difficult place. It was had to be fought over. It had to be built up and conquered and established and so on. But Caleb had that kind of spirit, even though he was an old man. And Joshua has the same spirit. For I read here, they gave him the town he asked for, Timnath-Serah. But that was in the hill country of Ephraim too. These two men, now Joshua here, they challenge us, even to the end of our days, even as we grow old, aged, infirm, having passed through many afflictions and trials and many burdens, many setbacks and disappointments, even sins. Still even in their old age, these two men, Joshua here in particular, are pressing on. Hill country it might be, but they want to go and inherit all that the Lord has for them. And he built up the town and settled there. You see, he had to do some building, some clearing, some settling, maybe even some conquering. And he was going to do it, and he wanted to do it, and settle there. Now, what lessons do I learn from this? The first lesson I learn here is of humility. Now, how do I get that? Well, who's last in the allocation? Who comes last in the list? Joshua, son of Nun. When they had finished dividing the land into its allotted portions, the Israelites gave Joshua, son of Nun, an inheritance among them, as the Lord had commanded. Joshua came last. But he's the leader. He's a top man. He came last. And what a principle of humility. Have we never read about those who desire the chief seats? Well, here's Joshua showing the right spirit. Let me read three passages to you. Remind you of three passages from the New Covenant. And see how this principle comes over into the New Covenant. I see the opposite of this principle today very often with clericalism, pastorism. These men elevated to the top, taking the chief seats, looked up to, given titles and veneration. It's all wrong. Here's the New Testament plain teaching on this subject. When Jesus had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I've done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example, that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." You get it in Matthew 23, I think, also, about the titles. All these are lessons I learned from the book of Joshua. Joshua came last. I said three portions. That was John 13. Here's 1 Peter 5. "To the elders among you I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's sufferings." Notice that, a fellow elder. He's an apostle, but a fellow elder. "And a witness of Christ's sufferings, who also will share in the glory to be revealed." I will share in it. See, I like the spirit here. "Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. Not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock." Jesus said about an example. Peter remembers it. "And when the chief shepherd appears, at the very end, like Joshua here, you'll receive the crown of glory that will never fade away." And then 3 John. "I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first, will not welcome us. So when I come, I will call attention to what he's doing, spreading malicious nonsense about us. Not satisfied with that, he even refuses to welcome other believers. He also stops those who want to do so and puts them out of the church." Diotrephes is an example the other way. Joshua isn't a good example for us. Peter picks up that spirit in 1 Peter 5, 1-4. And of course, he had learned it from his master, John 13, 12-17. Already in his letter, Peter, in the second chapter, has written about Christ as an example to us. As I say, he never forgot it. Joshua, therefore, I think, in the Old Covenant, is an example to us of how we should live in the New. And I appeal to all leaders, elders, teachers in God's church. We must cultivate the spirit of Joshua, of Christ, as exemplified in the life of Christ, brought out by the teaching of the Apostle Peter in chapter 5, verses 1-4. And learn from the bad example of Diotrephes, and not copy him. But there's other lessons from Joshua here. He's still working. He's still making effort. He's still building. He still wants what God has for him. And he's still thinking of the future. I think all that is involved in this thought that he built up the town and settled there. He knows he won't be living there for many years. But why does he want to settle a town there and build there? He's thinking of the future. He's thinking of the age to come, the generation to come. And I want to labor too, so that I can leave behind me some testimony, some work, some body of work that will live on and have an echo and do some good even when I'm dead and gone. When this poor lisping tongue lies silent in the grave, then I want to speak like Abel. Joshua seems to have that kind of spirit. He's thinking ahead and he's working for the future. It says in England, I don't know about elsewhere, but it said, it used to be said, you plant pears for your heirs. That means to say a pear tree takes so long to come to fruit that when you plant it, you know you're not going to see much fruit from it, but it's your children who will see it. I think Joshua shows that kind of spirit here. An old man still wanting, pressing on. That's a challenge. Humility. That's a challenge. Building for the future. That's a third lesson I see here. And so we come to the end of the allotment of the tribes, the land for the tribes, all in the presence of God at the tent of meeting. May God bless these lessons to us. May we act upon them, brothers and sisters. May we show this humility, this concern for the future, and this determination to have all that God has given to us. There is much land to be possessed. May we possess our possessions for Christ's sake. Amen.